On today's episode of Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures, we get back to basics with a love song that some may call cheesy, but one of us calls absolutely wonderful.
We have a deep discussion on our marketing budget and what Bill is actually doing with those funds.
We never do get to the bottom of what I'm doing with the money, but I know, Frank, you love my way.
You're listening to our discussion on Baby, I Love Your Way, Free Bird, Free Baby by Will to Power.
Frank, I feel our last few episodes have been well received by our friends and family, which generally makes up of a lot of our listeners.
I would say probably 96%.
Yes. And the other 4%, we count you as friends and family. Don't you worry. Now, I feel that we've been picking songs that the people around us are going to kind of clap us on the back, clap their hands in the air, give us high fives, that sort of thing.
The songs that people are requesting for us to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I feel we've almost kind of lost our way in terms of what we're all about. Now, we're all about bringing people together and about bringing joy, but we're also about bringing out music that perhaps we got made fun of for liking when we were younger.
Okay. I'm really excited right now because I think there's going to be a swerve here because I prepared for one song, but I think you're going to suggest we do Show Me the Way by Styx.
No, not Show Me the Way, Frank, but Baby, I Love Your Ways with Freebird or Free Baby.
Yes, Will to Power. Okay, good, because that is actually the song that I spent about 12 minutes researching.
Thanks a lot, Frank. Well, now,
we all know who does the heavy lifting here, Bill.
So I'd like to think that our listeners love our ways, even if they might not love all the songs we choose.
I think that we have enough cachet. Is that the term I'm looking for?
Enough cash in our emotional bank account?
Yeah, or I think we have enough sort of social currency.
You go, okay.
That people are going to get behind what we do, even if they don't necessarily get behind what we do.
I had a great moment today where I played the song for some people. And the immediate reaction I got from one was, oh, no, please tell me you're not doing that. Don't do that. Oh,
perfect.
And then there was another teacher, a friend of mine who I played it for, and he just found out we were doing a podcast. And he's like, oh, I love that song.
Okay, wait. There's a teacher at your school who is just now finding out we're doing a podcast. What is our marketing budget going towards then?
Well, let's not talk about that, but I'm doing a very slow rollout.
Okay. I'm a little more overt.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So today's episode is on Will to Power's Baby, I Love Your Way, Free Bird, bracket, Free Baby.
Yeah. And this is the first time we're doing a medley.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a song by Bill Medley.
Yes, that's true.
I stole your own joke.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It's terrible.
Thank you. You know how I feel now.
You should feel amazing.
Yes, it is our first medley, and it's a rare medley to reach number one. There was one called Stars on 45.
Yeah.
Which is horrid.
Yeah.
Which went to number one. And then there's this one that surprised everyone. I didn't even realize it had gone to number one in the States.
Well, the bonkers thing about it is both Freebird and Baby, I Love Your Way, neither of those songs went to number one. They had success, but they weren't nearly as successful as this song when they were mashed together.
Right. And I feel like over the past 30 plus years, that Freebird and Baby, I Love Your Way, the originals, have kind of stayed within the cultural conscience.
Yes.
But this one has not.
No, not at all.
Unless you're Bill Houser.
Or Frank Pearson.
That's right. And that's why we're bringing this to you. We're all about
guilt-free pleasures.
That's right. I say that because I have a question for you, Frank. You read much Friedrich Nietzsche?
Not anymore, no. I think I read a synopsis of one of his books once.
Right.
So does that count?
It certainly does if it meant you had to read it at university and that's what you did to get through.
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
I had to do it for like a fourth year paper. And I wrote a paper on Friedrich Nietzsche compared to Søren Kierkegaard. And then I dated a girl very briefly once who said...
Okay, wait, you dated a girl briefly?
All right, Frank, that's very funny. Yes, I have a track record. I'm more like a, I'd say 100 meter dash, but quit around the 60 meter mark. So, if we're dating, famously, yeah, it did not go well for me. But she did say to me that everyone wrote their papers in fourth year on that.
Oh, okay.
And I felt like, I can't date this person.
No.
I'm so insulted.
Yeah.
Will to Power is a very strange name for a band.
Yeah, but it comes directly from Friedrich Nietzsche.
It does. And so he never put it in a book per se. He had a lot of ideas around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was like a collection of his writings was put into a book called Will to Power after he had passed away.
Yeah.
But he talked a lot about the will to power, but he never fully fleshed it out. But don't worry, Frank, because I have a quote from the main guy behind Will to Power about why he chose it as the band's name.
I was hoping you were going to quote from your fourth year paper, because that would be amazing.
Yeah. No, I can revisit these things. You're going to love the way he wrote this.
All right.
He said, in the liner notes for the second album, he said, I borrowed the phrase, will to power, from a friend of mine, Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche. He said, the first result of happiness is a sense of power. Power contributes more to happiness than health, nourishment, home, entertainment. Even charity and self-sacrifice are motivated, paradoxically, by the same fixation, power. Now, Frank, do you feel that our podcast is motivated by power?
No, I think the opposite is true. I think by doing this podcast, I diminish the amount of power that I actually have.
You mean the zero that we make is yep. not gaining us any power?
No, exactly. Well, the money that we put into this, like the expense receipts that you keep giving me for our marketing budget that I keep paying you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I need a check tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You believe that's diminishing our power?
I think it's diminishing my power.
I had a whole thing where I wanted to talk about Freud's pleasure principle, where he said it was the will to pleasure. And then there was, this is really fascinating. You're going to love this, Frank. And Viktor Frankl had a thing called will to meaning. And then, of course, Nietzsche's believed a will to power, which means all of us desire for power, which means that we're driven by the notion of power. That's what keeps the world running.
Oh, okay.
Power.
Yeah. Without power, you can't turn on your lights. Or drive your car.
That's right. You know what? I think we're all about love here.
We've given up on the idea of power.
Yeah. Love is better. Regardless. Or is it irregardless? Or is it both?
I think it's regardless.
Right. So irregardless.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Easy, Frank.
Here we go. We have a band here that really, despite all pretenses, is really just about some Florida freestyle.
Yeah, and the band is essentially just the one guy.
Yeah.
He's had other bandmates, but he's the only constant in the band.
Right, so it's Bob Rosenberg.
Yes.
Who's not to be confused with the guy from Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
Yeah, so when I was doing my research, the Dunkin' Donuts guy kept coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't...
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. They have the same name. Bob Rosenberg comes out of a family that already has some pedigree. His mom was Gloria Mann, who
yeah.
had hits with like the song Earth Angel, and there was another one.
Teenage Prayer.
Right. So they're not the original versions, but back in the 50s, you'd have several versions of the same song.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So she did well in like regional locations, and he ended up becoming like a DJ in Florida.
He started DJing parties. And then weddings. And then he ended up as an on-air personality.
Right. And his mixes did very well.
Yeah.
From what I gather. They were big hit songs in Florida, like well-requested and all that.
Yeah. And then he dabbled in like record producing as well, because he produced a couple of raps in the mid-80s. And one was for Two Live Crew.
Yeah, that was shocking to me.
Yeah, I know, right?
And he also released his own rap album called Miami Vice.
That's right.
Which wasn't well received by MCA Records, who held the rights to Miami Vice. But the rap part does show up in later albums, that he truly does want to do some rap. I was going back into some 1980s rap, and it was a different sort of beast than what we ended up finding as the years went on.
Yeah, it's is dated the right word?
It might be. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
But now I realize, of course, just me liking it doesn't make it good.
Yeah, just like this song.
Oh, wow. You came out swinging there, Frank.
It's not a great song.
You said this to me before we started it. Like, wait a second. This is a good song.
It's a good song, but it's not a great song.
Oh, my goodness.
It has a specific place in history.
All right, Frank. That's fine. Let's go into it.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page where it goes through the past members of Will to Power. So the current members are Bob Rosenberg and Ellen Michaels. Ellen Michaels didn't sing on this song.
But she did sing some backing vocals on the first album.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a bunch of people on there, except the ace in the hole, so to speak, was the person he met at a writer's seminar or something, a workshop.
Yeah.
I guess people do this thing when they're in music. They meet at workshops.
I don't understand how you can write songs and everything with all that woodworking equipment going on around.
Well, that's so clever. I don't know how to respond to that, Frank.
I'm back.
Welcome back. So he meets Susie Carr, who has written some songs for a album we covered partially, which was Miami Sound Machine's Primitive Love.
That's right.
So she wrote like the first and last track on the album, I think, or was a co-writer. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that had Bad Boy. And there's a couple other songs on there that
did quite well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Conga.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Would I Do Anything for You? Is that on there? Might be.
I don't know.
Either way.
Let's say yes.
Yeah. Either way, she didn't write any of those songs, but she wrote two other ones. She wrote Primitive Love. And so Susie Carr meets him, and he plays a song called Dreaming for her.
Yeah.
And now Dreaming is a bona fide good freestyle song.
Yes, it's really, really good. I listened to it a couple of times before I actually got up the courage to listen to Free Baby again.
Okay. Now, Susie Carr did not feel the same way we did about it. She did not like the song.
No, not at all.
But she did the backing vocals, and he got signed on the strength of Dreaming because it did really well in Florida.
Yeah, and he got signed on the strength of A Lie as well. It's similar to the whole Sugar Ray thing, where they asked, do you have enough for an album? Sugar Ray said, like, yeah, we have like tons of songs. They had like four songs or something like that.
Same with Bob Rosenberg. So he has to scramble to get this album together. And I believe, if I'm right, the last track is this one that he created. And so from the Billboard Book of Number Ones, he was listening to songs he liked. That's what he said. And the song Baby, I Love Your Way was playing, but there was a fan playing behind him. Like a fan as in not playing, but spinning.
Spinning, yeah.
And when he heard the fan spinning, he heard Freebird playing in his ear. And so that gave him the idea that he should combine Freebird and Baby, I Love Your Way.
Yeah.
So it's not like he had some deeper sense that these two songs had a connection other than hearing the two in his head.
Because the songs are fundamentally opposites in terms of their theme.
That's right. We'll be working on bringing them together, of course, because that's what we're all about. Bringing people together and songs.
I think Will to Power already brought them together.
Yeah, okay, that's true. The very definition of medley, I suppose. Yep, okay,
exactly.
Correct. So Christmas Day is when he decided to record it.
Really?
I don't think they recorded on Christmas Day, but that was when he decided what he would do.
So this is going to happen.
This was a Christmas gift to himself. And the record company did not like what they heard, even though they put it together.
Yeah.
But we hear the story a lot. He had the gumption to just start handing it out to music stations in Florida or Miami, I think.
Yeah, in Miami, yeah.
And it did well.
That seems to be like a freestyle tradition because Stevie B did the same thing. Timmy T did the same thing. Like they got played through these sort of grassroots movements.
You know what? I think they all had the sort of will to power their careers. Am I right, Frank?
Oh, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Maybe Nietzsche was onto something. Although he seems like a sourpuss to me.
Yeah.
I don't think we could hang with him.
No.
Also, I don't know if you really need philosophy if you have all the love songs of the 70s, 80s, and 90s put together.
That's our philosophy.
Yeah. So I know we were talking about this as well before, but I just want to get back to it, that Susie Carr does the vocals on this, as does Bob Rosenberg. But Suzy Carr didn't sing on every song on the album Will to Power, but she sang on all the ones that ended up being singles.
Yeah, so she was kind of the de facto band member.
That's right. But there were a lot of band members, at least according to the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, so currently we have Bob Rosenberg and Ellen Michaels. Past members include Rachel Newman, April Newman, Ale Lorenzo, Donna Allen, Wendy Peterson, Suzy Carr, Maria Mendez, and Lori Miller. There seems to be some sort of a pattern there. I'm struggling to pick up on it.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of people wanting to stick around.
Yeah, no. Considering they only have three albums, and the first two came out in 88 and 90, and the third one came out as an independent release in 2004.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what he's like to work with, but I do know that he has pretty strong views, a sort of philosophical understanding of the world.
Yeah.
And on the second album, Journey Home, has this like very odd song to me where he kind of goes off rapping, talking about what life means.
Oh. Okay.
Oh boy, Frank. It's called, let me just find it for you, Koyaanisqatsi.
Sure.
I'm almost certainly getting that wrong. But he starts to talk about how we should treat the earth. He talks about animal rights and gun control.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of gun control, is he?
No, but he also is a big fan of animal rights. So it's kind of all over the place. Like he's like a PETA member, but he also wants to have like an automatic rifle. I'm going to play you a little clip here and just kind of get your impression before we jump into this song.
The cruelty inflicted upon animals trapped in our food and research apparatus is appalling. Contempt for animal life leads to contempt for human life. The Second Amendment states that the freeborn American's right to own and bear firearms must remain inviolate. I support the NRA because I favor the Second Amendment. After all, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And if guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. I intend to be among the outlaws.
It's intense.
It is. You know what? I kind of want to go back to Free Bird, Baby, I Love Your Way, Free Baby.
Yeah.
Medley.
Yeah.
It's a lot of words in there in that title.
There is a lot of words. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of emotion.
There is. And you know what? We're all about emotion.
Yes.
We're kind of will to emotion. Now that we've gone through all the members of the band, and we're left still with these two and Dr. DJ. Or Dr. J, the DJ?
He doesn't come up as a band member. I think he might just be like a touring musician.
Right, okay.
Or a studio musician with them.
Okay, all right. So, that's weird because they're trying to scrub him from Wikipedia, but he does appear in the video.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, we think it's him anyways.
We think it's him. Okay. Either way, we should talk about these two songs before we dive into this one mashup song.
Yeah, so Baby, I Love Your Way is a Peter Frampton song.
That's right. And it was on, I think, his album Frampton.
Frampton Comes Alive. Sorry, that's the version that got popular.
Right. That's right. On Frampton, which was like on a song that was called NASA / Baby, I Love Your Way, which of course is another medley, but it didn't do much of anything. But on Frampton Comes Alive, it's like the second last track, I think, on the album I was listening to.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, I know there's people who hate it, but I like it.
Well, Frampton Comes Alive had, I think it sold something like 12 million copies or something like that.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
But before that, he never did a whole lot.
There's a weird thing in the 70s where live albums would sell more than the studio albums. Like Kiss Alive?
Yeah.
That sold tons of copies, way more than their previous stuff. So maybe we should start releasing live podcasts.
I'm worried about the stuff that needs to be edited out and our jobs.
Me too. So Frampton Comes Alive does extremely well. This song gets into the cultural conscience and goes up to maybe number 6. That sound about right?
Sounds about right. Let me look at it here. It went to number 12.
Well, number 12, okay. Yeah. And then you also have Freebird, which is on the Lynyrd Skynyrd, I think, debut album. Does that sound right? 75-ish?
It's on their 1973 album.
And I think it's just called Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Comes out in 73, and a year and a half later, it charts. Because it's like a 9-minute finishing track.
That's right. Yeah.
And then the studio thought it would do well, and so they cut it down to a manageable length. And then, of course, it did well on radio.
It made it to 19.
Yeah.
So, you know, no slouch of a song there. Freebird is that song that everyone at concerts yells sort of ironically at bands, like, play Freebird!
It is a great tune to close a concert with.
Oh, yeah.
You can handle that guitar solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the best part of the song.
Exactly. Which doesn't show up in this song.
At all.
No.
At all. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but my first connection to either of these two songs is through the Will to Power song. I had no history with Peter Frampton or Lynyrd Skynyrd before this. Did you know these songs before you heard it?
If I did, I would have heard the Peter Frampton, Baby, I Love Your Way, before the Will to Power song.
Okay. Yeah, to me, they're all new. I didn't get it, but I felt the sadness in both of them. Although, Baby, I Love Your Way is not sad.
No.
But it's sad in this song.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should jump into this song.
I think so, too.
All right. First 13 seconds. Nice and easy synth opening. In the era of Spotify, it's a good move.
Exactly, because you can just skip ahead, right?
No, what I'm saying is you can just go right to the song. It goes right away.
Well, that's what I meant. You just skip ahead 13 seconds.
No, you listen to those 13 seconds because they're so good, but you don't have to listen to like 25 seconds because that's just too long.
How many seconds is too long? Is it somewhere between 13 and 25 is what I'm gathering from you?
Generally, I think you really want to, I mean, in this era, you should really have the hook of your song within the first 2 milliseconds or they're going to get skipped.
You're talking about like 1988 or?
No, I'm talking about now. But they somehow knew that this song could do really well in the future.
Okay, I'm getting confused here.
You are. I know. I think that's mostly my fault.
Well, it's also my fault for not understanding things.
Okay. Either way, here we go. First verse.
Irregardless.
Shadows grow so long before my eyes, and they're moving across the page. Suddenly, the day turns into night, far away from the city. Now, of course, this is pronounced a lot differently when Susie sings.
Yeah, we should mention that it opens with Susie singing Baby, I Love Your Way.
Yeah, the song Baby, I Love Your Way. Yes, of course.
Can we just refer to this song as Free Baby? Like the medley?
Okay, we'll do it. Free Baby.
Okay.
Okay. Pretty powerful opening there. She does say city in a pretty cool way.
Yeah.
City.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's almost a single syllable, but I can hear lots of things going on there.
It's a little bit sultry.
Oh, that's a lot of sultry. There's, I don't know if it's a reverb or just repetition where it's suddenly the day turns into night, 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 night. That's pretty incredible. And so from there, we head into pre-chorus.
Pre-chorus, yeah.
We got this stuff down, huh? But don't hesitate. 'Cause your love won't wait. Oh, no, no.
Don't hesitate. 'Cause your love
Questions for you, Frank. What does the first verse mean? Shadows grow so long before my eyes, and they're moving across the page. Is she reading a book? And is it Will to Power by Frederick?
I think it's Will to Power.
And you know what? Shadows would grow along the page because I'd be so bored reading it.
It would take so long to read that because you have to read every page about 5 times because you forget what you've actually read and you have to go back.
I've had this every time I've read Nietzsche. I didn't know what I read.
No.
And I had people around me saying, oh, it's so important. He's so much about like life and blah, blah, blah. And I just hear blah, blah, blah.
And all he was a lot about blah, 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 wasn't he?
And then all I could hear in my head is, shadows grow so long. And I laughed to myself. I don't know if it did me well in 4th year university, but it made me laugh.
Well, what did you get on that paper?
I like an 85.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I was looking for affirmation for years on that one.
Yeah. Well, you got it finally.
Good. Suddenly the day turns into night far away from the city. She's not in the city. She's far away.
Yeah. So she's in the countryside.
That's right.
Reading Nietzsche.
Right. Tough one.
Reading Nietzsche in the afternoon as the sun's going down and then the shadows grow so long before her eyes on the pages because the sun's setting behind her.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Casting a shadow.
Right. Well, that's how she can see the page because the sun's behind her.
Exactly.
And yeah. Yeah. Where is her amour? She says, don't hesitate because your love won't wait.
He's either in the fields, working the fields, or back at the farmhouse.
Okay. Oh, this is on a farm.
Yeah. This is somehow turning into a Hallmark movie, just so everyone
understands. You're getting to the category.
Yeah.
It's definitely Hallmark After Dark, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is a lusty movie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we get to the chorus from here, right? I think we nailed our interpretation here.
Absolutely, we did. Peter Frampton would be proud.
Yeah, I love this chorus. To me, this chorus is what makes the song. For anyone who doesn't like the song, all they need to hear is, ooh, as soon as that comes on, you know you're in the midst of beauty, which is what we're about. We're the will to beauty here at Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.
Is it irony or just coincidental that, like, your name is William?
Yeah.
Will. Bill. Bill to Power.
Oh, that'll be the name of the podcast I have when you and I split.
Why are you always looking to get away from me?
After I get enough of the funds for our advertising budget, who knows what will happen.
How big is the check I need to write to you right now?
We'll talk off mic here.
All right.
Ooh, baby, I love your way every day. Want to tell you I love your way every day. Want to be with you night and day. Hey, I love your way.
There's not a whole lot to say there. She loves his way.
That's right. But those oohs mean so much.
Yeah.
And then there's the hey, and then there's that easy kind of listening music that just gets in your head.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a tinging of the synth keys or something that goes on there, but it works.
Because this is like straight up freestyle.
Yeah.
It's the drum track and the really simple sort of keys, the synth, right?
And the funny part of freestyle is you can release an album with like 9 really fast songs and 1 ballad, and that ballad will be remembered forever.
The ballads are always the one. Same thing with Timmy T and Stevie B, right?
Yeah. You're right. You're right. And so now we get to a bit of a curveball in terms of ballad land and freestyle land, where it's a second vocalist.
Yes.
And it's our man, Bob.
And he's singing something incredibly different in terms of the theme. Because right. Baby, I Love Your Way is about someone who loves her baby's way.
Right.
Or his baby's way.
Well, here's the question. What is his way? And this seems to be the answer. If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? For I must be traveling on now. There's so many places I gotta see. But if I stayed here with you, girl, things just wouldn't be the same. 'Cause I'm as free as a bird now. And this bird will never change. And this bird will never change. We'll be right back.
So it doesn't matter how much she loves his way, he's got to take off and do his own thing. The man's a bird, he's got wings, he's got to fly.
That's right. That's certainly what I felt about this song when I heard it when I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
I had some deep feelings and thoughts about it.
Did you know?
I did. Let me read to you Tom Brihan's take on the vocal. And you know this already, but it bears repeating. Rosenberg delivers the Ronnie Van Zant bits like the shy office guy who hasn't yet gotten drunk enough to do karaoke the way you're supposed to do it. The whole thing is just deeply awkward. How are you feeling about that, Frank?
Tom Brihan makes a comment in his article as well about the physicality of Bob Rosenberg. And I think when you watch the video and you see the man, he looks like he could be Hulk Hogan's cousin.
Right.
So the sounds that come from his mouth in this song betray his physicality. That sort of soft, almost awkward vocal shouldn't come from a man who's that big. It's like Aaron Neville. Aaron Neville is a big dude.
Right.
He has that really high falsetto voice and he sings those love songs. His voice betrays his physicality. Same way with Bob Rosenberg. You would think he would be more of a rocker, more power to his voice. It's really subdued.
So he's a lover, not a fighter, despite reading a lot of Nietzsche.
Yeah, and his views on gun control.
He's a complicated man.
He is a complicated man. But he does look like he could be Hulk Hogan's cousin, right?
He does. Yeah. He does. I mean, there was a mention of him being a mid-card wrestler in the
Jim Crockett promotion.
Yeah. Not far off. Thought you liked that. Not far off. I liked it. You know, it's weird. His vocal feels like it's on a different sound level than Susie Carr's. Susie's kind of giving it. It feels like her vocal is almost veering off the road, but it comes back on.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad vocal.
No.
But it's not going to be like trumpeted as like the greatest thing we've heard in music history.
Yeah.
I like it for this song a lot. And his vocal is so fascinating to me because it feels so different.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's in not another room, but in another building singing the song. I'm just amazed by it. I know people hate it, but of course, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. He's also really strong. I don't want to say to someone who's that strong that I don't like his vocal.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? I feel that I would be afraid to say that about him.
Yeah.
Tom Brihan's a braver man than I.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get to this soon here, but now it jumps back into Baby, I Love Your Way.
Yes.
And we got to kind of work through this in terms of how does Freebird and Baby, I Love Your Way work together? I know he thought about them without them actually connecting, but I think they do connect. And so Susie sings, "Shadows grow so long before my eyes with the help of some fireflies."
See, she's still out there in the field.
Totally.
Reading by firefly light.
That's right. "I wonder how they have the power to shine. I can see them under the pines."
And the way she sings that, I wonder how they have the power to shine. Like she...
Oh, yeah. I feel
she
like
breaks she's, out there.
She's going for it. It's becoming a heroic vocal.
Yeah.
The Bonnie Tyler style. She says "wonder" instead of "wonder," which I always found kind of fascinating. It's like she's just going for it. And then when she talks about "under the pines," I'm not sure if she's going to hit those notes. I feel like it's like she's landing. She wobbles a bit, but she holds it.
Yeah.
And so we're still giving her the points in the gymnastics program. Like she's gone off those bars. What do you call them? The uneven bars?
Uneven bars.
Yeah, because that's harder than just the parallel bars.
Yeah.
No one watches parallel bars, do they?
I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
Okay. The uneven bars.
She
makes a landing. Maybe she sprained an ankle.
Carrie Strug style.
Yeah, but she did it.
No.
Oh, Carrie Strug didn't do it?
No, Carrie Strug sprained her ankle on the vault.
She did. Yeah. Didn't get the gold?
No, she did. She won the team competition with the United States in 96, I think it was. I think she won gold. She was America's sweetheart. Don't you remember that?
I do, but you know what? All I can think of right now is, you know who didn't make the landing?
Oh, Brian Orser, I know.
He just tripped up a little bit. he didn't fall like others fall and still win the gold. Just this little trip up. Okay. All right. Anyways, back to this.
You got a lot to work through.
Nah, I'm never going to get through this. Brian, I'm never going to work through what happened in the 88 Olympics, which is when this song came out.
Okay. The country had all our hopes pinned on you.
On him. Yep. But don't hesitate, because your love won't wait. And when she says your love won't wait here, she gives it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to give a lot more. I thought she gave it her all there because I have it written there. But then when I turn the page over to the rest of the lyrics, I have written all over. Full Susie vocal, I say later on. So she seems like she's giving it, but she's going to keep giving.
Yeah, she keeps just amping things up.
And to Bob Rosenberg's credit, he doesn't come back on for any more verses. He's just going to do some supportive things.
He does like backing vocals, a little call and answer stuff, right?
Yeah, and tries to connect the songs.
Yeah.
And so now we head into just repetitions of...
basically the chorus.
Yeah, I think three times.
Yeah.
And so the first one you have Bob coming in there with every day now. I think, do I have that right? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And he says night and day. Then there's a synth horn that comes in. Oh, baby, I love your way. And she goes on, and he keeps saying night and day, night and day. And then the full vocal comes, where he says, because I'm as free as a bird now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she goes, give me your way. Want to tell you I love your way. And then he says, a free bird now, which sounded like to me, I feel better now. But it was a free bird now,
yeah.
Which isn't any better.
No, no.
And so she loves him for being a free bird, a free spirit. And so she's kind of holding this candle for him and loving the fact that she holds a candle for a guy who keeps going away.
It's just so tragic and doomed, though.
Totally. It's so sad.
Yeah. So, like, Susie, you can do better.
Totally, she can do better. And then we go on to just, it repeats and repeats. I mean, this is the lion's share of the song for me as lover of soft rock ballad music.
And the song's what, 4 minutes and 12 seconds long?
Yeah.
Somehow it feels longer than the 9 minute version of Free Bird to me.
So is this a good long or a bad long? Frank, I don't like the look on your face right now. This is a good song. Man, I don't have to prove this to you.
No, absolutely not. You don't need to prove it to me. You're just proving it to the rest of the world.
That's right.
Oh, this is a safe space.
It is.
You can like whatever songs you want, and I can disagree with you.
Yeah, we've had this before. Yeah.
It's not that I dislike this song. I like lots of songs that aren't necessarily great songs.
Okay. Do you know what else was in the top five?
Are you asking me to tell you, or are you going to tell me?
Well, I got it here, but do you have a version?
I also have it here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, why don't you just say it?
Okay, fine. This was number one. Number two was Look Away by Chicago.
Yes.
Which is, of course, amazing.
It's a great song.
It went to number one because that was Diane Warren, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And then a killer track, How Can I Fall by Breathe.
That's right. And that Breathe is going to come up as one of our figure skating podcasts.
No question. No, yes. I Don't Want Your Love, Duran Duran. I don't know that song at all.
I don't know it either.
Desire, You Too. I remember that one.
Yes, that was from Rattle and Hum, right?
Rattle and Hum, yeah. So that was December 3rd, 1988.
Yes.
So there's your top five, and I did not know this had hit number one. That's an amazing feat.
Do you know what the crazy thing about this is, though? It came number one on the Hot 100 Billboard, only came to number two on the Adult Contemporary chart.
I wonder what beat it.
Do you know what beat it?
No.
Waiting for a Star to Fall. Like how you can't beat that.
No, you can't beat that.
No.
I mean, like, listen, I do like this song, but Waiting for a Star to Fall...
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's cosmic.
Exactly.
Right? This is bound to be on Earth.
Yes.
This also made probably decent money back then for Peter Frampton and whoever had
Leonard Skinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of revitalized interest in both Peter Frampton and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yes, yes, definitely. Peter Frampton mentioned how it didn't hurt his wallet at all.
No, not at all.
But I found some fascinating info from Peter Frampton about Spotify. Before, okay, we've talked about how people can make money on it, but at least this is 2017. Peter Frampton discussed this song while talking to lawmakers, and he said revenue payments from streaming music services like iTunes and Spotify gave the following. For 55 million streams of Baby I Love Your Way, I got $1,700.
Wow.
And he said their jaws dropped and they asked me to repeat what I just said. So for 55 million streams from both iTunes and Spotify, $1,700.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to make any money here, Frank.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. So
so much for our marketing budget.
There it is. I still need that check from you, by the way.
Okay, it's coming. Okay. It's in the mail.
So there's the song for us. Questions for you. Oh, the video.
The video.
I got to say, I don't know if you saw this when you were in grade 5, but I did.
No, I didn't because I didn't have much music at the time. I didn't have cable.
I watched it on Video Hits on CBC.
Oh, okay.
How do I discuss this? She has a sort of a dangerous vibe to her in the video.
Yes.
But dangerous in a good way for an 11-year-old. She was very pretty, but she seemed like both intriguing and scary.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking as an 11-year-old. And actually, as a 46-year-old, I'm still speaking as an 11-year-old.
Most of my life, I've found most women intriguing and scary to me.
Yes. So she's got a great vocal.
Yeah.
No question. But they really lean into sort of like, I don't know if she looks like a biker chick. Does that sound right? Is that appropriate to say?
They both look like they could be on the cover of a romance novel.
That's a better way of putting it. Yes, exactly. I saw someone refer to her as a, let me just read a comment. I don't know if I could handle this. Looks like a Miami Vice episode. She looks like the misled vixen and he's the coke dealer with a heart of gold. I don't even know how to deal with this. So this is from Stereo Gum. So this guy wrote here. Another comment was, I totally imagine the dude reading Nietzsche one day, had his mind blown, decided to grow his hair out, get a bike, and record a song about his love of freedom and how he wants a woman who also loves his love for freedom.
But that's a good description of what the song is.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. So you have the video where you have Friedrich Nietzsche's Will to Power is placed beside the fretboard.
Soundboard.
I want to call it a fretboard.
Well, the fretboard's on the guitar. That doesn't exist in this song.
Totally. All right. So it's beside the soundboard. And then it does the classic 80s thing where they just can't do the CGI to have the same book there.
Yeah.
It's another book. It's the same book. But now it's in Susie's room. And she's almost certainly singing in a resort. Yeah. Like this, or a hotel with a pool.
Yeah.
They're in Florida, right?
Yeah. Because she's on the beach. She's in her room. She's in the recording studio. And what I like about the video is, because Bob Rosenberg has his history as a producer, he's pulling all the strings from the soundboard.
That's right. He's there and she's singing longingly.
Yes.
And very sultrily.
Sultrily?
I don't want to say seductively. That feels so demeaning.
I think it's very much an 80s vibe.
Right. Because she has like black and white dresses. That's all she has. Very Stevie Nicks. And she has like a, it's not a cardigan, but she has a throw over her dress.
Yeah.
And she keeps pulling it off and putting it back on.
Yeah.
Pulling it off. And it just set my heart aflutter as an 11-year-old who wanted to save her from this life of being with this jerk.
Yeah.
Who doesn't wear helmets when he rides a bike.
No.
That's not safe.
Because that's not freedom, Bill.
That's right.
That bird's free on his bicycle
or motorcycle. I couldn't believe he wasn't wearing a helmet.
It's the 80s. No one wore helmets.
It's insane. I think I do remember seeing people not wearing helmets on bikes.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Going back to the Susie Carr aesthetic, it reminds me so much, like with the hair and everything, and even the way that she's singing. And I've brought this up before, but the movie MacGruber, Kristen Wiig has a character called Vicky St. Elmo, who's a pop singer. And it just reminds me so much of Vicky St. Elmo from that movie.
She also reminds me of the woman who is the hostess at my Opa's retirement party.
The lady in red.
The lady in red. She was totally Susie Carr.
Yeah.
And I was the same age and terrified to dance with her.
Well, yeah.
I should have danced with her. I'd still be terrified. But sometimes you got to do the things that scare you. You know what, Frank? You know what you need? The will to power.
The will to power to dance with terrifying women.
That's right. There's a video for you.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to it because it's just interspliced scenes. Mostly they're separate from each other.
Right, because he's a free bird.
Exactly. On his motorcycle with no helmet.
And he totally looks disinterested in her when she's kind of grabbing onto him as she sings.
Yes.
And he's looking off in the distance because he's a free bird. He's also an idiot. Why would you leave Susie Carr?
Why would you ride a motorcycle without a helmet?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things here. One is, if it's Susie Carr, to me, I guess maybe this is describing myself. I'm like, oh, you just won the lottery. She seems really great.
Yeah.
And you want to go on a motorcycle? Like, number one, you don't have a helmet. We've already talked about it. But number two, you don't have a face shield. You're going to get hit with all those bugs.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Was he wearing sunglasses? I can't remember.
I don't remember him wearing sunglasses.
No, exactly.
Because I was looking at his handlebar mustache.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that probably protected him quite a bit.
I was on a motorcycle once. It was terrifying.
Were you on this in the sidecar?
Yeah, totally. I guess that would explain it. I would like us to get like a photo shoot where you're riding a motorcycle and I'm in the sidecar for Phil and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.
Someone has a motorcycle with a sidecar out there. Make it happen.
Yeah.
We have money in our marketing budget to pay for the photo shoot.
That's right. Just don't cash a check unless you call us first.
Yeah, exactly. I will say one more thing about the video, yeah. And this is something that I love, is the second time Susie Carr starts singing Baby, I Love Your Way, she's walking down some stairs like at a pier.
Yeah.
But you just listen to the piano cascading as she's walking down. So it completely mirrors what she's doing, the music. This
do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
And you get the sense they didn't have a lot of money to make the video. So they're going to certain places, piers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could hear them saying to her, all right, toss up your hair. All right, take the throw off, put the throw back on, take it off, put it back on. And then when he's there, when Bob is singing, they have him sing every part, including the oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh man, this is so cheesy and so fantastic. All right, category time, Frank. You ready?
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, even though we said we'd ease off on it, forget this, man. Which part is Michael Bolton singing in this song? The answer is Susie Carr. Am I right?
Yeah, he's singing all parts, honestly.
Well, I got someone else singing the
Oh, you have someone...
It's a curveball, Frank.
Okay.
And it's a usual one, actually. I think I bring her up a lot.
Yeah.
It's Anne Murray.
Anne Murray. Yeah, Anne Murray's the snowbird's the free bird.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And wow. She's going to be riding a motorcycle.
That would be amazing.
Or a golf cart.
Apparently, she's a very good golfer. I may have brought this up before, but she was ranked number one or number two female celebrity golfer in the world.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's bonkers, right?
Yeah.
We got to do Snowbird at some point.
We have to do Snowbird, but it's coming.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it needs to come for next winter.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, that's the one I want. I don't know if you have another vote. I don't think you could, because Michael Bolton doing the Susie Carr part and glamming it up like Susie Carr with his hair.
Oh, 80s. Yes. And taking his throw on and off during the video.
Totally. And then Anne Murray on her motorcycle.
Although I don't think they make it to the end of the song, because when he gets to the part, I wonder how they have the power to shine. You just need to sing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he explodes the world at that part.
And it's all light, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're all about, Frank. Light.
Yes.
Love, light, joy, eat, pray, love.
Yeah. 3 years into the podcast, we finally figured out what we're about.
Yeah. Will to light, power, love, joy.
I'm going to change our business cards from middling unsuccessful podcast to that.
Whatever we just said there. That sounds good. All right. Next, we already talked about this. It's Hallmark After Dark.
Yes.
It's on a farm, but he's also, is he like a reformed biker, but he has a call of the road?
I think so. But for it to be a Hallmark After Dark movie, that's the tension in it, is that she loves him, but he loves the road. He loves the freedom. But at the end, he has to come home. And that's the final scene. Him on the motorcycle driving into the small Vermont town where she is.
Right.
Coming back to her.
And it seems like he's going away. It's a trickery in the filming, but he's actually coming back. So you're feeling sad while you're watching. Oh, he's going away. Yeah. And then suddenly he shows up at the barn.
Yeah, because he just went to the local apple farm outside of town and just brought back apples.
And it's Hallmark After Dark, so it's a symbol.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we got that. Hallmark, reach out.
It's only half a plot, but it's better than most of your movies.
True enough. All right, elementary school talent show. I have this as an interpretive dance.
Yeah.
And when they do Free Bird, they're flying. But Baby, I Love Your Way, they could do like the heart symbol.
Or they can like pretend to cradle babies.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great interpretive dance.
Oh, absolutely. And all the interpretations would be wrong, but it'd be fantastic.
Do you think Katarina Witt and Brian Boitano could do a dance routine to this in 1989 after the Olympics of 88?
Only if Katarina Witt defected.
You do know, we've talked about this, that they did a television special.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
But they did Hands to Heaven.
That's right, by Breathe.
Okay, next category.
Here's my category for you.
Oh, okay, good.
Would you be that shy office guy singing karaoke when you haven't had enough to drink to this song?
Yes, I would be. I could imagine a time when I would do it and it would get all quiet and awkward in the room. And I would do the, but this bird will never change.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I can see myself being that. And that's why I feel the same way he does. But he seems to be doing things well. Although when I see Will to Power play now and it's got Ellen Michael playing, I think it's Ellen Michael, is that her name? And Bob Rosenberg. They sing to like literally a backing track.
Yeah.
And I watched them play where he was playing keyboards, but this track was playing. And then when he sang, he just took his hands off the keyboard. Like, wait a second. I don't know if he's even playing.
No.
But then he sang to his own vocal. And it sounded like his old vocal was overpowering his current vocal.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. I don't know what was going on. Wow. Listen, they come to town. I'm going to see them.
Yeah.
Frank, did you bring mixtapes of Proceedings today?
I don't know why you ask me that every week. Because the answer is always maybe.
Right. Okay. I just don't know how to segue into it.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. Again, it's only been 3 years.
Okay. Well, tell me what you got in that mixtape.
All right. I've done a similar mixtape in the past, so there might be a little bit of overlap on that one.
Right.
But this is covers that were more popular than the original song.
Oh, okay. Good. Good one.
I'm going to start it with Hound Dog by Elvis, which was originally done by Big Mama Thornton.
Right. Okay.
This song has been covered by literally everyone. Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, originally done by Leonard Cohen. There She Goes, Sixpence None the Richer, originally done by The Laws. Downtown Train by Rod Stewart, originally done by Tom Waits. And closing it all off with Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, written by Prince, but done by his side project called The Family.
Whoa, deep cut there.
Deep cut.
Very good. All right, I kept mine very brief because I couldn't quite bring it together, but I wanted songs that existed in the same universe as this song.
Okay.
So the first one is Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Lil Looking Glass.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Nice.
And to me, this actually fits perfectly. She loves his way, but he's a free bird on that boat.
Yeah, he loves the sea.
He does. Do you think that could be a guilt-free pleasure in our future?
I think so.
It's a great song.
Do you think he sees the bird while he's on the boat? Maybe the bird's a seagull.
No, the bird's an albatross, Frank. It's Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
I don't know what that means.
We'll bring it up when we get to the Looking Glass episode.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, next one is Free Fallen. Tom Petty.
Ah, because of the free.
That's right. And he's broken her heart.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I also have Just the Way You Are, Billy Joel.
Oh, nice.
Don't go changing. Right? So, but this sounds like it's more domestic as a relationship. And I realize things got kind of lost there. But I'm sticking to that. That's going to be my thing. There it is. There's my just three songs.
Just three songs.
Just three songs. I have about seven in front of me, but I'm just going to pick those ones.
Those are three very good songs.
Yeah. A question for you.
All right.
The best version I could find of this on my streaming service was from an album that was called Schmooze Songs. And it was a picture of a girl kissing a guy in a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And do you think this is a song that you might play if you were getting smoochy with a date.
With your best girl?
With your best girl.
So the question is being asked, is this a smooching song?
Yeah. Smooching just seems to belittle the act of getting fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this a getting fresh song?
If you love your baby's way, I think so.
I think so. It would feel weird to hear Freebird.
Yeah, going, no, exactly. Although, in the middle, just like, I don't know what to do with this right now.
Yeah. However, I don't think anyone cared because the feels were there. And this song has the feels because it has the oohs. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And it's a freestyle classic song.
Yeah.
Just easy piano melody, that drum track, and those soft, sultry vocals.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our journey through Will to Power's Baby, I Love Your Way, Free Bird, Free Baby medley. And even if you aren't totally into the song, we kind of hope you're totally into us.
And if you're just new to Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures and you haven't listened to many of our episodes, I implore you, just don't hesitate, because your love of our podcast, your love won't wait.
You've been listening to Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.